All right. It is episode 80. We are here. And I have an idea that I want to run by you before we start.
Okay.
Since we are now up to nearly 100 subscribers, I thought we'd put this out there, like a little game of sorts, a little game show type deal. Yeah. I want the musical talents of our audience and see if they can come up with a theme song to the podcast. What do you think?
Yeah, we could do that.
Well, the pushback in this organization is very, very...
You wanted me to push back and be like, no, never.
No, I thought there'd be a little bit more than, yeah, sure, why not? I don't know.
We haven't been able to find a consistent intro outro.
Well,
we haven't really found an outro at all.
Well, the intro is like whatever... Or it was like the original song and another song, and then I decided to mash them all into one. But to be honest, they're highly illegal. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. So I thought we'd commission the audience to come up with something.
Yeah, that or, I mean, we gotta figure out, like, I don't know. We got to figure out some type of music, whether they make it or I don't know how the CEO does his, but he has Cradles playing, and I thought that would be copyrighted, but it's not. So,
well, we're not discussing legalese on the air here.
Well, of course, but I'm saying, like, we do need to figure out either some type of song or have them do it, or if we figure out a song in the meantime.
Well, I mean, there are places, to get copywritten or free free to use sites. I mean, they have them. I actually pay yearly for one, and I thought maybe doing that, but I think it's more fun if the kids get involved, as you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's definitely more personal.
So how are we going to play this game here, though? Let me think.
I don't know. They can send, we could do like send it to, you know, our email or something and just have them make like some type of tune or whatever that they feel matches the theme of the podcast.
Now, of course, I agree. The audio file sent to, we can do that, sent to the email. But I will say the winning is exposure. Your talents will be played across the world,
and we'll give audio credits, you know, and our description and stuff. We'll say what the intro or outro is made by.
Yeah, well, there won't be like a dollar prize like the review contest I ran, because I can't keep spending money like that. But
no.
But I figure, you know, you get your name out there, a little exposure. Maybe there's some talent out there, but that can put this up. But the length. Okay, here's the rules. I got it. Here's the rules.
Okay.
Has to be at least 60 seconds. 60 seconds. You must include the name Stretch Goose.
Oh, so you want vocals to it. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, make it sporting, as they say. All right. So, 60 seconds long. It must include the name Stretch Goose Podcast. And if you want to throw both of our names in there, it's optional. Our names are clearly printed on the logo. So, you know, can't mess that up.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Knock it out, you know. Show us what you got, as they say. And we will listen to them all. And the selection will be made what do you think? January 30th? Give them about
Yeah, we could. Yeah, that's about a month.
Give them about a month to knock one of these out. That intro will also be chopped up as an outro, so there's no reason to do two things because it's a minute long. We can edit that into two separate deals.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and of course, obviously you get, you know, global, I don't know, global, but you get your exposure. You get your name out there. So, submit that stuff with the subject in the subject line of the email, put Stretch Goose intro or something like that, or Stretch Goose music. Let's do that. Stretch Goose music in the subject line there, and send that to stretchgoose@fontsmedia.com. All right. I think we will
see how this goes.
Yeah, and if nobody wants to play and we get nothing, then we will continue without an intro until somebody shows up.
Yeah. We're gonna have to.
Yeah, make it fun. All right, let's dive in. This is episode 80. I wrote it all out in pen because I had to wait for your sister to show up so I can take her back to the house. Let's start off. Let's do this here. All right, let's do this. All right, so there you go. Submit your songs, fonts, Stretch Goose at Fonts Media. 1 minute long. Must include Stretch Goose podcast in the 60 seconds there. And January 30th or at least that end of January, we'll make the announcement. Ryan Reynolds and Matt Lieberman are working to bring the Mighty Mouse to life on the big screen. These guys worked together on the, I believe it's the Free Guy movie. One of them, I believe was Free Guy. I think Matt Lieberman was the writer. I'm all for it. Bring us the fucking Mighty Mouse, and I would love it. I hope the fucking villain is Mickey Mouse, and he beats his shit out of that fucking little turd. Sorry, go ahead.
What if it was like a Mighty Mouse, like mashup with Superman?
No,
yeah, you know, I believe there's a comic book with Mighty Mouse and Superman.
No, Mighty Mouse the original is fine.
You don't want no Superman in there?
I don't want the fucking Kryptonian ruining my Mighty Mouse movie.
All right.
No. I just want Mighty Mouse.
Well,
That's it. Mighty Mouse. I think it'll be cool as fuck. It's supposedly being adapted. I'm assuming it's live action with a CG mouse. And it wouldn't shock me if Ryan Reynolds is the voice of the mouse. And he's also coming back with Pikachu Detective Part 2. He's also going to do that voice there, which I'm assuming is going to show up sometime in 2026. I'm guessing.
I wasn't really a fan of Pikachu, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I hate
No, we're not doing movie reviews, but
I hate the whole Pikachu fucking Pokemon idea anyway. That's all.
Yeah. Ugh. That's anyway. A little controversial.
And a little Marvel deal here. Because of the success of the Hulk Wolverine clip in the movie, they're developing the Hulk versus Wolverine film. That's it.
Interesting. Okay.
That's it. That was the big oopsie doozy there. Nothing else has been revealed. So
they're gonna fight. So this is a fighting movie of the Hulk and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. It's probably similar to the comic book.
I don't know. Yeah, I get that, but I don't know how I feel about all that. I mean, are we going to have, what's his name? Play the Hulk. Oh, jeez. From the Avengers, the actor that everybody knows. That I don't know at the moment.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, that'd be a good question, right? I mean, if those are in the works, I'm sure they're not releasing cast right now and everything.
Well,
still,
we all know who Wolverine's going to be because they've already are in talks to book multiple Wolverine appearances with Deadpool, and he's also going to be in that movie.
That's the other thing about the Deadpool is that movie was good, but now they're going to beat it until it's fucking dead.
Listen, he's going to he's going to be in Avengers Secret Wars. He's going to be in the little Christmas thing they're doing for Disney Plus. And he's supposed to show up in little cameo deals in other films leading up to Secret Wars. So
Disney has this problem. Uh-oh. Okay. Disney has a problem with the fact that like they something hits, right? Like something's really good. And other creators have this issue, Marvel being one of them, but I know that they're under Disney. So Disney, something will like hit and then they continue to abuse it until everybody hates it.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars being a big one. Like it was such a perfect franchise. They had the script and the outline right in front of them, just maintain what was already there. And then they release a movie that had some pretty good success. And I'm like, oh, fuck, we're going to do that same thing four more times.
Yes, but they're not done. You want to stay on Star Wars?
I know.
For a second.
They're definitely not done. It's absolutely insane.
they just inked another 3-picture deal. So we're going to get 13, 14, and 15. And then they went ahead and they got Skeleton Crew came out. They got the Mandalorian movie coming next. Well, I don't know if it's still 2025.
And then they make a TV show that everybody loved. Mandalorian, I have yet to see it, but I know people love it. And I know you watched it quite a bit too. And,
yes.
You know,
that was the only series I saw all the way through, honestly.
Yeah. And exactly. So it's like, I know that that was a hit. I haven't seen it purely just because I'm never on Disney Plus, right?
Right.
But they turn around, they see a movie or they see a TV show that's great, and they want to make a movie out of it, and then they might just end up ruining the TV show.
No, they won't. The TV show won't die. That's fine.
No, I'm not saying it won't die. I'm saying that
the movie will suck.
Yeah.
Yes.
The movie's gonna suck, and or like, why would you? If you have such a successful TV show, you have multiple seasons. Why would you make a movie on the TV show when you could just continue the TV show with more episodes?
I don't know. But you know what's crazy?
You know, like, I don't get that. I just don't.
But what's crazy is Mandalorian and Bad Batch are the only two series to go, only two TV shows that went to the third or fourth season. Everything else is either canceled after one or set or two seasons.
How long was Loki? I watched Loki once.
Oh, we were talking about Star Wars for a second.
I know, but I'm just saying because we're talking about Disney creating.
Oh, Loki is.
You know, I didn't know if Loki was in that same conversation or not because they're talking about making a movie about Loki.
Two seasons right now.
Okay, so it's still sticking to the.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make a third. He's supposed to be a part of Secret Wars because of the multiverse. Shit. And because of the multiverse, you got Robert Downey being Tony Stark / Doom, and then you've got because it's like the What If series. Well, in this universe, Tony Stark is Dr. Doom.
God, I wish we were back in like the 2010s when things were simpler.
Oh, before they made a dumb decision?
Yeah, before they just like
no, the first the
there
first,
was you
the,
know, obviously there was always multiverses. Marvel has always talked about other universes or whatever, but they're, you know, and like they're parallel to the main universe. So like, but you know, it would be Captain America would be like Spider-Man or something, like, you know what I mean? Like it would just be like some weird little mixture. But now they're just like bringing people back alive. But oh no, this time he's a villain. You know, and it's I don't know, but I guess in the universe, like, the actor is back alive, but in the universe, it's not like Dr. Doom had a history of being Iron Man, so.
Right, but I'm still waiting for Doctor Strange at the end of that movie, The Multiverse of Madness, where Charlize Theron comes through the universe and goes, "Do you want to fight some monsters?" I'm still waiting for that payoff.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're...
See, and that's the other thing, is they constantly make these movies, and they do it... I'm talking about Disney as a whole, because I know we're bouncing between Marvel and Star Wars, but Disney. They constantly make these movies with these open endings, or these little, like, tidbits dabbled between the movie, so they can easily just be like, "Oh, remember in this movie, like, 5 years ago? Yeah, now this is coming true." And it's like...
Yeah, well, fuck all that. I'm waiting for the Eternals. Are we going to explain the giant celestial?
I totally forgot. That first movie sucked. I'm sorry.
Dude, the Eternals was terrible. But they did something at the end of the movie. There was a giant celestial just sitting in the ice.
Yeah. And no explanation. Fucking,
yes, we are not.
Nothing.
We are not paying that off.
coming from a company like Disney, who constantly through their own movies and stuff, they make references to past movies. You know, they have these little tie-ins throughout. And Marvel, they still kind of do that. You know, Disney has carried that on. Marvel did it before. But not even a single hint towards whatever the fuck that thing is. Like, I just don't, I don't get it.
The only way you're going to get it is if you are a total comic nerd. Like, you know what the Celestial is. You know what the Secret Wars multiverse battle is. That's the only way you're going to know what these references are. But as a moviegoer, you're like, just a regular moviegoer who's never read a comic book, you're watching this shit, and you're like, when are we going to talk about that shit that was just sitting there in the ice?
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm not crazy into comic books.
You know what I'm saying? Like 4 years ago?
You know? Yeah, like, I don't... And everybody kind of forgot about the Eternals, and I wonder if they just haven't hit back up on it because they know it's a flop, but at the same time, Disney has a hard time realizing that their movies may suck.
There's not only that, I totally agree, but we also have another problem with the Eternals. At the end of the movie, when he goes to grab the sword, Blade is behind him talking. And we have not gotten Blade off the ground. We don't even know when he's going to show up. Is that movie going to be?
That was a question during the Deadpool movie as well.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about this fucking random scene where he's talking to the celestial with the sword and what the sword means? And
yeah, but that's what I mean, is they create all these endings, or not endings, but they just put these little things throughout the movie, and like, they do it intentionally. I guess maybe it is a good idea, you know, because now you can actually connect things, even though they may connect it 15 years from now. But
yeah, but by then,
I think it's dumb. Like,
but by then, if you connect something 10 years down the road, which at this point it would be, I'm not going to give a shit.
Yeah. And, or, you know, the people that you're going to be grasping have not seen that movie 10 years prior. So then you're going to tell them, "Oh, go back to this movie that's 10 years old." And most people don't watch movies that are even older than 10 years old. So they're going to be like, "Ah, that's too old anyways." And they're just not going to watch it.
Well, what happened in the Ten Rings? Remember when they came through and they analyzed the rings, and they were saying that it's tied to the Celestials and back through to that one. I can't remember that fucking character, but that whole thing there. And you're like, okay, so the rings mean something to.
Yeah.
To what? Is that because they got rid of Kang the Conqueror? Which makes that entire... Yeah,
but then they turn around and say that there's an alternate universe with another one.
But they didn't do it, though. They went with Doctor Doom. They made a swap.
Yeah.
So that just means the Ten Rings tied to Kang don't mean shit. But then why did you... fuck Marvel. They've lost me.
Not even Marvel, just Disney as a whole. Like,
Oh, PSA. Moana 2, $400 million opening weekend.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
Interesting. Oh, recap on our last episode about Gladiator 2. Gladiator 2 is now the most grossing film in Denzel Washington's career.
Yeah, well.
Yep. Out of all the movies he's made, that's the one that's making him the most money. I have yet to see it, by the way. But anyways, back to our regular scheduled program.
I just want you to know that I appreciate the update to Denzel's career.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, I mean,
we're talking about it. You know?
I just didn't know he wasn't making any money.
I didn't realize it until I saw
isn't that a trip
on social
though?
Media, and then I had to look it up and actually make sure.
But yeah. isn't that a trip though? Like,
yeah. I think it's on track to be his highest grossing film that he's ever started.
But like I said though, isn't that trippy that all the well known movie stars or action or whatever, none of their movies gross any money or substantial? Like Tom Cruise, his shit doesn't do very well at the box office. Denzel apparently doesn't do well on his own.
I don't know. I honestly thought Equalizer 1, 2, and 3, well, I guess 1 and 2, were...
No, I mean, they make money. They make money.
Yeah, but I didn't look at the list of like what's at number one right now compared to Gladiator 2, but you know, that's on me for not checking, but I feel like Equalizer would be like up there, but I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as popular as I thought.
I don't even think Leonardo...
For him specifically.
I don't even think Leonardo has hit big money. I mean, they profit, but they're not $1 billion or whatever. Don't talk about Titanic. Shut the fuck up. That doesn't count. Does not count. That fucking boat sinking movie doesn't count. They ran.
I was
that,
about to say
no.
That
no.
is like that
I'm going to tell you why it doesn't.
Like everybody refers to that movie.
No, I'm going to tell you why it doesn't count. Because Cameron put that movie back into the fucking theater three separate times.
Okay, so you're talking about the initial run.
Okay. Don't give me that fucking no.
Okay. That dude gets a solid payout from every time.
No, that fucking thing did three runs
that
in the theater.
It still has to be one of his most popular movies.
It is, but no.
And Wolf of Wall Street, maybe?
No, that didn't make a whole lot.
Really?
Oh. No, it didn't.
I don't know why.
Huh. Man, let's get off of this fucking...
Yeah, back to our regular scheduled program here.
Yeah, anyway, that's your... there's your movies. Ryan Reynolds is doing Mighty Mouse. Marvel is developing Hulk versus Wolverine and all whatever else is going on with the timeline. Gears of War update. Release date, late 2025. It's not going to be in 26 or 27. 2025. Mm. So they're moving it up. I hope that doesn't destroy it. They're going to make it available on PC, both Xboxes, Game Pass, and the pre-order is currently available on Steam. And the story update is it's going to be more based off of a horror genre type thing. It's a shooter, you know, kind of the same gameplay wise, physics stuff, but the story. And a lot of it's going to be like a Resident Evil was. Go through the dark, go around the corner, get a little jump scare.
That'd be fun.
What's the other one? What's the other one that I did that they did that was Silent Hill? I can't remember what the first one I think it was.
No, I didn't play those.
I think it was the first Silent Hill where it, you know what I mean? Like it's really dark and then you get, and then you know, it's going to be like that. And it is a prequel. So you're going to get two more of those fucking things to explain the entire before it happened type origin story.
Interesting. Okay. And sucks. I won't be able to play it until 2026, but
no, 2025, you get the first one.
I know, but I won't have access to it.
I know. Cause you're going to be busy on
a
boat
off
or
doing
some bullshit
or whatever.
You're going to be like sailing or something, but
yeah,
but you can pre-order it now on Steam for what it's worth. And you'll have the little,
don't ever pre-order games before there's gameplay footage. I'm sorry. I've done that and it was a mistake.
All we have right now is a trailer. Gameplay footage has not been released, but based off of this little itty bitty update, they don't have any.
I'm sure we'll see gameplay footage next spring. Spring, summer time frame is 100% whether you're going to start pushing out gameplay footage.
I fucking hope so. Because if you're pre-ordering it now, I mean, they got to have something.
Yeah, you'd think that. Call of Duty is notorious for, like, they get so many sales in pre-order before first gameplay launch, you know, and then they release it like a month or two before the game comes out. It's actually insane.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, side note.
If they take a book off that, or take a page out of their book.
Side note, the Madden 25 has gone through another patch update. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
I don't know if it improved the game or what, but
all I know is sure it's still 50% off.
Oh, it is. It's 60% off actually on Game Pass the Game Store. You can get it on 60% off and yeah. So there you go. Whatever. I mean,
you know, and I've been so tempted to buy it because it's 60% off, but I'm stubborn because I don't want to give them the satisfaction of buying their game even though they put it as 60%.
Don't do that. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
That, and also I have NCAA, so it's like Madden and NCAA, like they're both football games.
Remember what you said though about not releasing gameplay footage. They didn't release shit when this game came out. It was just two screenshots bundled only with NCAA, and that was it. And then now they got the...
But they put everything on NCAA. Gameplay footage, trailers,
I know,
like everything.
I know. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
But now... Yeah. With it 60% off, they gave you three more screenshots. Still no trailer, still no footage.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can go on YouTube it now. Like,
well,
that's where you go.
Yeah, there
done,
are people bitching about it right now. But yeah, but yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
And there's still those professional games. Speaking, okay, no, we'll wait.
Oh,
I was going to skip and end up going to a sports type topic, but we'll wait till that category comes.
Well, also on Madden. Amazon has a documentary on the release of Madden 25. You should check it out. It is all about the pressure of the yearly release. So you get to kind of get their perspective on why things are the way they are sometimes. And then, it's a little education. I watched some of it and I say bullshit because you can literally do every other year and no one would miss a beat. But
I know we've talked about that so many times.
Yeah, I just you know, a couple updates on Gears of War, Madden, and on to the big bulk segment because we had a lot here and we had a really long discussion yesterday on some of this because somebody took this personally. Let's get to Major League Baseball's free agency. And we're going to go with the big one. We're going to get it out of the way. You can get it all off your chest because you are a fan of the sport. We're going to go Blake Snell first because that really got you going yesterday. Let's get that out of the way. 5 years, $182 million. He leaves the Giants and he's off to the Dodgers of Los Angeles.
As I'm gonna talk about him, I'm looking up his statistics right now because I just want to make sure that I'm not like completely full of shit sometimes. But okay, he did have two Cy Youngs. We were discussing this yesterday.
Yes,
everybody,
and you were losing your shit over this.
Yes, so I was very upset. Here's the main reason, right? He leaves Tampa Bay and he rides the wave and goes to the Padres. The Padres are willing to pay him. It makes sense, right? And he built quite a resume with himself or for himself in Tampa Bay. Then he turns around and goes to the Padres for 3 years. He has a whatever 2 years. He has a Cy Young year. And his year going into the Giants. So the Giants signed this guy thinking that they're going to get Cy Young quality. Not to mention,
wait.
He did get some.
Before you go crazy, how long was this deal? 2 years, 3 years?
Oh, geez. I could not tell you.
Well,
honestly, do not remember.
Was the Giants deal multi-year?
Yes.
Okay.
It was multi-year.
Okay.
It was. And they did pay him a decent amount. And honestly, I can go back on next week's episode and I can update, you know, and fact check myself. But He got some MVP votes his first time that he won the Cy Young, and his second time, which was with the Padres back in 2023, right? He has one of his second lowest ERA of his career. He goes out there and he has one, first off, he had the most walks of his career as well, which is like, eh, whatever. He gets signed by the Giants and proceeds to, I mean, this isn't, I don't know if this is really his fault, but he does get hurt and first he shits the fucking bed. Then he gets hurt. Then he comes back and out of freaking nowhere, he figured out how to pitch. I really, really did not understand that. And so it was great.
Can you back up to the shit the bed? What do you mean? Did he just...
Okay, so he came in, and again, he just won a Cy Young, right?
Right.
He won his second Cy Young. He's a proven pitcher, nonetheless. Like, he's an amazing pitcher. Comes to the Giants. I don't know if it's just the Giants as a whole, where these good players will come to them, and they just play like shit. Pitch like shit, hit like shit, whatever it is. I genuinely think it's San Francisco because Soler came to the Giants. He was going to be their designated hitter.
Yeah.
And hit below 250 for the first like month and a half, then started climbing, and he didn't even hit the 300 until after the All-Star break. And then he gets sent over to Atlanta. And now, or no. Yeah, sent over to Atlanta. That was also one of the ones we were talking about yesterday. But anyway, so he is not playing to what the standard that everybody was expecting him to play at. You know, he had a good game here and there, but like that was not the standard. You know what I mean? He was supposed to be the Giants' ace. Like, that was the goal, and that's what he was supposed to become. Then he gets hurt. You know, he gets hurt. Shit sucks, and comes back, continues to just get raked until a little bit after the All-Star break. He has a complete game shutout, which is his first ever in his career. And by the way, he's been in for 9 years. So like, first ever shutout in his career. He finishes the season 5-3, which is his lowest of starts as a total. And well, I guess technically he started 20 games. So finishes 5-3. Then we go into like, towards the end of the season, and this fucking guy is talking crap about the Giants and how he doesn't want to be there anymore. And he was already talking about how he wants to leave and go somewhere else. And it's like, everybody, Giants fans, I'm not in the organization, so I don't know how they felt. But like, this guy just got signed to a multi-year deal. He wanted to come here. He was so freaking ecstatic to come here because he grew up a Giants fan and wanted to play for the Giants and all this freaking bullshit. And it was almost like, you know, you're dating someone and they cheat on you, you know, like,
wow,
instantly, like,
wow. What?
Yes. Cause everybody bought into this guy. Cause granted, the Giants have not had a solid pitching staff in a long time. They haven't had a really good ace since, I would argue, Madison Bumgarner. Like, it's been a while since they have had somebody that they're excited to see on the mound. Like,
fuck,
doesn't
dude,
happen you, very often.
This is affecting and, your soul right now.
It only bothers me because the Giants, as a whole team, are there. You know, they're young, they're healthy,
yeah,
they're willing to play, they win games, and they're able to do so. They have, I'm pretty sure statistically, they had a top three bullpen. I think they ranked second once the World Series was over.
Right.
They, like, in strikeouts and everything. And going into the All-Star break, they had the most strikeouts. Like, their bullpen is solid. Their starting rotation's iffy. Blake Snell was supposed to, like, rejuvenate that, be that guy, that veteran, because, again, a lot of the pitchers are young. And he talks about going elsewhere, and where does he fucking go? He goes back down to LA, signs with the newly World Series champion Dodgers in that powerhouse of a fucking rotation because he wants a ring by year 10. I just, like...
Well, okay, so he went across the street, okay?
What the... Like, It's okay. I just don't get it.
So it's a guarantee. Every contract in baseball is guaranteed, right? So he's signed a multi-year deal with the Giants. I don't know how many years are left, but is that put any, is he get that one plus the 182?
The issue, I understand NFL contracts so well. When it comes to baseball, I don't know.
Or does the Dodgers pick up the salary plus, like, how do you fucking do that?
Yeah, I could not tell you, honestly. And right now I'm actually trying to find his
the Blake Snell salary giant?
Contract details. There we go. I found it. Sorry. Okay. Hold on.
I'm older.
Okay, for the Dodgers, I'm getting the Dodgers update. I don't give a fuck about the Dodgers update. I'm sorry. There's two things that I hate in this world, and it's the Dodgers and Cowboys.
He is hot as a motherfucker right now. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Fuck, this is the Dodgers again. Oh, it's his whole breakdown of his contract. That's nice.
I don't give a fuck. How many years are left on the Giant deal?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know why. Is it going to give me career earnings, maybe? His total cash last year, he earned $32 million. The contract was for $80 million. So highest paid in his entire career was $80 million.
Is that what?
But it doesn't say the years. Oh wait, breakdown maybe. Sorry guys, I'm exploring here.
All right. Well, while he explores, I got a couple other ones here. Danny Jansen, for what it's worth, took a 1-year, $8.5 million deal with the Devil Rays of Tampa. The Oakland A's, the owner that everybody hates. But this is a stat I didn't know existed. I thought the A's paid more than this, but they grabbed the Mets pitcher Lewis Cerevino on a 3-year, $67 million, the most the Oakland A's have ever paid out to any player guaranteed money, which is shocking to me, considering the talent that has gone through there over the years. I didn't know that was a thing. And in conjunction with the A's, they get their relocation papers. All that is done, which in conjunction approving the $1.75 billion bonds to build the stadium on the Las Vegas Strip. You find that shit yet or what?
I did. Okay, I did. That's why I pointed at the screen here. But
all right, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So this is also what gets me worked up, right? Because now I'm seeing his full transaction list, like from the point that he was drafted.
All right. Okay? Well, we don't need part. We just need
But this is why I was worked up about him going to San Diego and going to Giants and stuff. He, in 2019, with the Rays, he played for Tampa Bay, drafted by Tampa Bay. He signed a 5-year, $50 million contract, right? By December of 2020, he was traded to the Padres because he requested a trade. He did not want to be there. Why? Because the Rays in 2019 were fucking dog shit. Anyway, all right. So he just signed a $50 million contract and leaves. Now, fast forward to the Giants. San Diego offered him a $20 million extension. He denied the qualifying offer. He wanted to go to free agency.
Okay.
Chose to sign with the Giants in March. He signed a 2-year, $62 million contract. Then, okay, so I thought it was multi-year. I thought it was like five.
It's only 2 years.
I was mistaken. It was 2 years, including an opt-out after 2024. In November, the Giants exercised an early termination option for $30 million.
Oh, so there's no more money coming out of the Giants. Okay.
No. So they just completely paid him out and whatever. And then he goes over 25 days later, signs a 5-year, $182 million contract. Not saying he doesn't deserve the contract, but if history continues to repeat itself like it has twice now, the Giants or the Dodgers only need to have one bad year and he's fucking gone.
But then he takes the buyout if there is a buyout
clause, and then he'll take the buyout. But there is, so it doesn't, in all of these, it gives me the contract details. Great website, by the way. It's Spot Rack.
That's interesting. He gives me those Kurt Cousins vibes.
So in total,
how much is he robbed?
He has no opt out in this go around. So he gets $182 million,
right,
guaranteed.
Right. Okay.
$52 million signing bonus. So he's making an average of 36.4.
Is that 52 off the 182, or is that separate?
No, it says 182 contract, 182 guaranteed. So that 52 is on top of the 182.
This fucker's going to get 200 plus million?
Yep. And in 2025, Snell will earn a base salary of $13 million, a signing bonus of $52 million, while carrying a total salary of $36.4 million. Holy shit, it gives me luxury tax on this. That is insane. Sidetrack, well, but...
no, I don't need that much.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2031.
No one. At that point...
There is a club option in 2030.
At that point, who gives a shit? Because they could be dog shit. They could change... Yeah, but just to know that
at that point, he will be pushing 40 years old. That guy is probably going to retire with this contract.
But let's I mean, they only need 3 years of that deal, you know, to be honest. And
yeah,
they're still going to pay him because it's all guaranteed. But man, there's so many bank robbers in sports. It's insane. Like first off, where are they getting this money? Where are the, because the Dodgers,
I don't know.
The Dodgers have continued to, at least over the last 5 years, sign these guys to hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts. I know Magic Johnson's a part owner and he got some movie theaters and shit, but that can't be where the money's coming from. Who the fuck owns this team?
So I'm looking at the Dodgers as a whole financial summary. Their current payroll allocations is about $210 million.
Yeah, because it's every year, but
their cash total is $222 million. I don't know how their tax space. Oh, great, there it is. I see it. Negative $44 fucking million dollars. It doesn't make sense.
The Dodgers, according to this website, are losing money but finding $200 million for payroll.
Okay, their current payroll allocations,
right,
is $210 million.
Right, right.
These are rounded up numbers just to make it easy.
Okay.
You could find, anybody listening, you could find all of this on spotrack.com. You could literally look at every breakdown of every sport, every team, racing, all the way to WNBA.
So assuming it's an accurate website, say it is.
Yeah, it's been how accurate in
the
to
fuck,
my findings.
How the fuck are you losing money and still having money for payroll?
I don't know. And then their projected total allocations, because this includes Blake Snell now and a few others, because there's a few that, you know, that they just signed. $233 million. Their cash total is second in the league at 222, but they're negative in tax space by $45 million. I don't get it.
I don't know. Then how are they making... They got a fucking magician back there. They have a magician in the back there cooking the books. There's no other way that I can see. I mean, wow, that's crazy.
It's absolutely insane. And if you look at past years, because again, you can go all the way down to 2011 with their financial summary, they've pretty much been in the negative since 2020 started. So pretty much since they won that first Mickey Mouse World Series. And I can't really say that anymore because they won a full season World Series now, but whatever.
So they got two trophies out of this? Okay.
Yes, since 2020 they have two trophies because they won the COVID trophy with the 60 games played
and the guy had COVID and played.
Yeah,
I remember that guy. He's still on the team, right? His mic has failed. Once again, kids, his mic has failed. I will move on while he is attempting to handle his technical difficulties. The Tampa Bay got their $1.3 billion in bonds for their new stadium. Juan Soto, his free agency there he is. He has returned.
Heck yeah, I'm back.
Apparently. We're just going to get this out the way because we know the Dodgers are losing money, whatever it is, what it is.
We got down to,
because this fucking rant looks like it can go all night. It sure can. He's a very angry Giants fan. Juan Soto is still looking for a house in free agency. Eventually he'll make a decision there, but on to the sport that matters, the sport that makes more sense to me, the game of football.
Now, which is easier to understand contract-wise.
Yes, but there are two things. There are three things we're going to talk about. Bill Belichick interviewed with a college football team, the University of North Carolina, because they fired their fucking dude. Let's just do that first. We'll just go down the list. Do you think 72-year-old Bill Belichick, who has seen more success than anybody has probably in their lifetime in the sport, is going to downgrade himself to talk to kids? Do you think so? His mic has failed again. Let us. His mic has failed again. He might want to go to his headphone mic and throw that mic in the garbage or fix it later. But I think Bill Belichick is not going to want to talk to children. These 18, 19, 20 year olds. I don't think he has the patience for it. He's an old man. He's got 7 trophies and 9 trophies. Cause he's got the Giants in there. Cause he was a New York Giant DC. So he's got about, I think, 9 trophies. I don't think he wants to talk to kids. I
could see it if he's like trying to mentor the younger generation or maybe passing knowledge to the coaching staff.
Listen,
maybe he does it more for
listen. Bill Belichick recruiting a high schooler? No.
He
ain't doing it.
Maybe not.
He's probably doing this to prove to some fucking weirdo that he's relevant, but he's not doing none of this shit. you imagine him flying around, going into a room, I got 9 NFL Super Bowl rings, and I want you to play for North Carolina.
Yeah, it sucks because like he has no pull when it comes to, I mean, I guess the only thing is that he would have a direct line to the NFL, but a lot of coaches do. So
at this point, yeah.
Yeah, like how can you be like, "Oh, I have 9 rings." It's like, "Okay, how the fuck does that help me get drafted?" Like
how does that help me anywhere?
Yeah, like how does that help with NIL deals, which he probably doesn't even understand?
Oh God,
you know.
Yes, that would.
You gotta remember, this is old football. College players didn't get paid. NFL players barely got salaries. Like, dude,
yeah, this look good on him for still wanting I can tell.
I'm surprised there's no NFL teams that want him. It is beyond me that he has gotten to the point of interviewing with college teams. That's got to mean that no one wants him or doesn't have a job for him that he wants.
No.
Maybe he wants to be a head coach.
No. He interviewed with Atlanta, and he was in talks with the Jets, I mean, it's not like nobody was interested. Here's Belichick's problem. Belichick wants to be the GM, the head coach. And
he wants total control.
Yeah, and nobody is giving it to him. Atlanta was never going to give him that job with total control.
Yeah.
So until he's willing to like just be a coach and not want to have complete roster, he's just going to stay at home.
I wonder why he didn't want to just be GM with the Patriots,
Just slide over.
Step down from coaching, and be the GM. You don't have to travel every game if you don't want to. Yeah, it's I figured that that's what he would do. He's already been the GM. All right. He's doing is handing off the coaching options.
I'm going to explain to you why that's not going to work. All right. You ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine for a moment Bill Belichick in a cubicle for 12 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not happening.
I guess. He probably would be too much of a hands-on GM.
On the computer typing away? Yeah. Sending an email?
I mean, he had to do it to be the GM that he was, you know?
Like, now, how do we know that for sure? He had assistants in the office.
Maybe,
you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you're telling
me he just makes the assistant GM to do everything.
Right. No. No
and
no,
build
no.
up his resume, you know? Just to
then what's the point of Bill Belichick?
Yeah, that's true.
He's 72. He's already at the end of it. He still wants to work, but he doesn't want to do all the other shit. So it's going to be what it is. He's going to have to coach high school ball at this point or something.
Oh, that would, that would suck. Does he have kids? I guess that would make sense.
I mean, he wouldn't, but that would be where he would end up. If he wants total control over the roster.
Yeah, now he has to recruit kids out of middle school. Oh my
gosh. Oh gosh. All right, Eric Bieniemy got the hatchet. I didn't know Deshaun Foster.
God, quite the fall off he had.
Oh, well, side note, Deshaun Foster was the coach? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Little...
Did he get fired too? I think
No. Deshaun Foster's not going anywhere. Eric Bieniemy left his representatives, which I think is bullshit. I think it's cover. They were saying that it was only for 1 year anyway. Like his goal was to go to the NFL and no jobs opened. So he took the UCLA job and then ended up getting fired or asking.
Wait. So he went to college. Because there's no NFL jobs available? That's not true.
Well, he went to keep working, basically.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what his reps have said. I call bullshit because, let's face it, everybody knew what he was, and it was proven at the lower level. He is what he is.
Yeah.
So, He can coach a running back, obviously, because he's had success there, but to take over an offense, call plays, do all that shit, basically expand to more people, it seems to be a problem for him. He just can't do it. So it's not the end of the world. He's going to get a job. He's going to be somewhere. I'm sure the Panthers will probably get another coach. Probably overhaul that. Yeah. I'm sure the Bears obviously are looking. The Jets are looking. So he's going to get another shot. We'll see what happens. I just think it's interesting that he can't even survive college. That was shocking.
I was really surprised, mainly because he had head coaching offers. I'm pretty sure at the time Buffalo was looking at him. That was like one of the big ones that he interviewed for.
Yeah.
And it's like his fall off is insane. Like again, another one, because we talked about this, about how I don't understand. I initially said players, but coaches too. I don't understand how some of them do not stay with a franchise to continue to win. You know, we talked about the player aspect yesterday, or last night.
Well, yeah, but
he's in the same position. It's like you could get paid similar money. And I understand you're not the head coach, but like offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, they are still just as important. Why not stay and win the rings and get the extra money and build that resume, or just stick around and see what happens, you know?
Well, everybody wants to stand on their own two feet. I mean, yeah, he's the offensive coordinator, but Andy Reid calls plays. So what is that dynamic really? He puts the offense together and he shows it to Andy and Andy does cuts. Who does the actual game plan if Andy Reid is the one making decisions on the offensive end during the game?
Yeah.
You know, Eric Bieniemy had no control. So he wanted to show the world what he can do on his own. He went to Washington. I don't care what anybody says. that quarterback played well. He really did.
Yeah. It was Sam Howell.
Yeah, he's backing up.
Yeah, it was Sam. Yeah.
Where the fuck did he go? Seattle. He's in Seattle right now.
Yes.
I don't understand. I mean, he obviously showed statistically like he can do it, but for whatever reason, Dan Quinn didn't want him. So, I mean, but that's just what happens when you change coaches. It is what it is. But the fact that he was not willing to take a job somewhere in the NFL as a running back coach or whatever just tells you what it is. Just tells you about him in general. He wanted to be the guy. And
yeah,
for whatever reason, he couldn't be the guy. And he still isn't the guy. That's probably, I think it's more personality driven than anything.
Yeah, I guess so. It just sucks.
Ego,
that, like,
I guess. Ego is another way of saying
it. I don't know. I guess it sucks to see now this guy went from the top to just, you know, we're talking about him at the same time as we're talking about Bill Belichick.
Dude,
trying to get a college job.
This is, but it is what it is what it is, you know, retirements, old age, you know, the coaches in the NFL are getting younger and younger, and the assistants are getting younger. A lot of NFL players are becoming college head coaches. Obviously, Deshaun Foster is an example. It's a changing of the old guard, if you will. And a lot of these old guys won't let the fuck go. They just won't let it go.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's crazy to see that some of these like oldest coaches in the NFL now, granted, it's mainly because Bill Belichick left, but it's like Andy Reid,
Andy
Harbaugh.
Reed. Yeah.
Andy, you know, like those are the two, I believe those are the two oldest in the league right now is Andy Reid and
man, Jim. How absurd it is that we forget what's going on in Pittsburgh.
Duff. Fuck Mike Tomlin. He's not the oldest, but it is insane.
Those are the three currently. Yeah, those are the three.
I knew I was missing one that is like over 55.
Just know that those are the three coaches with just over 12 years with one team.
Yeah.
They
longest tenured.
Yeah.
Oldest. It's insane.
They keep throwing in Sean Payton, but fuck him. He left. He has to start over. You know, so
yeah. if we're talking about age wise, then yes, but
you starting over with the Broncos, which he's doing pretty well. Got Bo Nix playing.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. I just
doing a lot better with Bo Nix than I thought he would. I thought Bo Nix would tank so hard, not because I hate him, but it seems like those players who end up in college for so long never translate very well.
Who, you know what I mean? Who was the starter? At the start of the year,
it was Bo.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
No. Mm. Yeah, your computer's faster. My phone would talk back, but.
You know, I'd gladly look right now. Let's see.
No, because I remember Bo Nix did not start the first week. Who the fuck? Wow, my mind is gone.
Well, on the roster right now is Jarrett Stidham. Bo Nix and Zach Wilson.
It was Zach Wilson. Did he start? Check that week one.
Yeah. I think he did.
I believe somebody started.
I'm going to fact check for everybody right now.
Oh, I'm pretty sure my mind isn't that gone.
I could have sworn Bo Nix started the whole time, but I also could be very mistaken because it's been so long. You know, they're 8-5 right now. I know they started winning with Bo Nix, so that's kind of like where my head went. All right, week one. Nope. Week one was Bo Nix.
Are you serious?
It has been Bo Nix for 13 weeks.
No. Who started? Yeah. No.
Week one, Bo Nix.
That's not what I'm saying, dude.
What do you just asked who started.
I know, but there was a guy that was slated ahead of Bo Nix.
Probably slated. I wouldn't.
Give me a minute. Where's that preseason game? Week one. Week one. Here we go.
We're talking about preseason? What the
fuck? I'm going to tell you. No. I'm saying just. It was Zach Wilson. Okay.
Well, he didn't start week one.
Well,
the only person on the week one stat sheet
is Bo
Nix.
Listen,
he threw two picks, though. So.
The point I was attempting to make there was Bo Nix beat somebody out, and I couldn't remember the fuck it was.
Oh, yeah. I guess in preseason. Yeah. You almost had me believing that he didn't start.
Zach Wilson opened the schedule as the starter, which is preseason.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Zach Wilson, as he did in New York, could not hold it. Because he's Zach Wilson.
No, he could not.
Because he's Zach Wilson.
On the sports topic, by the way,
Sacramento
Kings are winning by 10.5.
Don't do that. I got a Kings rant coming. Don't do it right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Well.
Okay. Let's.
You know.
let's get back to the good stuff. Trevor Lawrence got a boo boo on his noggin.
Yeah.
And he is donezo for the year. And I'm going to. It's the same rant that I'm always in with this. Is that I don't blame him for hitting him. I don't blame. I know he got pushed around for doing it, got suspended, and we're talking about the linebacker. I understand why everybody got mad because he was in the act of sliding. But I'm not mad at it at the same time because I feel like the slide itself is bullshit. Because it's like, when do you determine legally that he is sliding? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I know that was a question with Kenny Pickett in the bowl game before he got drafted.
Yeah,
he did a fake slide and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, because he dropped his hips. People thought he was going to go down. And yeah,
he did a little shuffle and stuff. And then I agree with, I don't know if you're going to go this route, but I agree with Tom Brady. He made a statement about it, and he said that if you're going to punish him for the hit, then you should also hold quarterbacks accountable for the fact that they are not required to make it obvious, you know, that they're going to slide. They're not required, you know, there's no rule
in the
NFL.
That's a better way of saying it, because I was trying to say is what constitutes a slide? Like, because I've seen quarterbacks go knees first. I've seen them go half an ankle. You know what I mean? Like,
And I get in, I guess, like, right now, it's if they're in the process, which is giving themselves up in some way. But I've seen, this is the other thing, is I've seen running backs and stuff who are trying to keep the clock going do the same exact thing, and they can get smacked. And the refs are just like, ah, whatever. But like, if he's technically giving up, he has every right to slide just as much as the quarterback.
Right.
Then why are you not penalizing the guys for hitting the running back? Just because it's his job to get hit doesn't mean that he should be getting hit when he's giving himself up. You know? So I do think that I agree with Tom Brady in the sense that the rules need to be defined more. Or just get rid of the slide in general. Like, there was a time, and there's this really famous video, and I forgot who hit him, but Tom Brady got lit the fuck up. Like, helmet popped off and everything on the sideline.
I remember that.
Got absolutely destroyed. The slide existed then, but, like, no one really did it. You know, that was a thing.
because I feel like the slide opens you up for injury, because obviously that's what happened.
Yeah, look at Joe Flacco against Kiko Alonso way back when he played. You know, Kiko Alonso was with Miami.
Fuck. Yeah, yeah.
And Joe was with Ravens, and that was pretty much the fall of Joe Flacco in Baltimore.
Yeah, because
he got rocked, and it was brutal.
He got
shoulder to the jaw.
Yeah, he got sent away. He got sent home. Yeah. Yeah,
and he was staring into space like Aaron Rodgers did after that sack in Green Bay. You know, and it's just. It's like these players are giving themselves up, and they're taking more of a risk than just dropping a shoulder. You know, personally, I feel like you're taking more of a risk because now this guy's season is over because he took a forearm to the jaw. Why? Because he took such a massive blow when he was completely limp and just like,
well,
you know,
it wasn't really the jaw. It was the head bouncing off the back and.
I'm saying what just, initiated it was the forearm to the, you know,
but then this always goes back to the thing I've had this issue with athletes in general. They always talk this bullshit about full speed. And I've said this 100 times. You're 20 yards away running full speed. You are closing a gap. You have that gap to use your fucking noggin and think, you know?
Yeah.
And no, and these guys always sit there and say, well, it's bang, bang. It's not bang, bang. If you look at the play, he is coming from the left hash, if I remember correctly. If you're standing, it was the right hash. So
Yeah,
it was the right hash.
No, he was, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I guess not, but I'm trying to have time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture the, because if you're standing facing that end, it would be the left hash. So he's coming down from there. It's a good 10, 15 yard gap that he's closing on. He's got plenty of time to do a basic tackle. Even if he's sliding, you can put the helmet on the rib cage. You can wrap up and put him down. You don't have to aim for his face. And that's what he did. He went forearm to the face. That's the one issue I have in the NFL is tackling is a massive problem. And it's like
shoulder bumps.
It bleeds into college, and now you see it in high school. Everybody's trying to do the fucking knock your helmet off.
Shout out to Cooper DeGene, though, for doing the... Like, I bet high school coaches are using him for tape on his hit on Derrick Henry, the, like, perfect form tackle, wrapping the legs up, like...
Slight lift and drop.
Now that we're talking about that stuff and everything, like, that's a 250-pound man, and just a simple form tackle depleted him.
And what did he do? So, he slowed down, broke down, went in. You don't get that in the NFL. And this Trevor Lawrence hit is an example of that. There's no fucking reason for him to go that fast. Not even fast, just closing the gap with his fucking forearm to the face.
And I understand, like, NFL is, you know, a lot faster than, you know, any other level of football. But, like, even in high school, me and teammates had never had a problem recognizing if somebody was going to slide. Yeah. Even if it was five yards in front of us. Now, obviously, you get within that 5 yard mark and it's a little iffy. But
he could easily have chopped his feet and just gotten to a hitting position because you can clearly see him go feet first.
And even then, there's been so many times where quarterbacks will slide and you'll see a defender, like, dive over him because they realize, he's sliding, you know, and you can make that quick adjustment.
There are plenty of distance, plenty of time. But a lot of these players use that as an excuse. I think it's shameful, and I think they're all fucking babies for this. And it's the same thing when you see these guys going over the middle to catch a ball. And you got the DB bearing down on him. I know. There's a guy out there that's going to say it's not the same thing. But I did dabble at the high school level. I know, as a safety, over the middle, or even whatever zone you're in, I know I had time to make decisions back there. Guy throws it over the middle. I had a good... 5-10 yard head start to make a tackle. I also was in that same time can make a decision. Head, leg, wherever. The NFL, these guys don't do that. It's all, I'm knocking your face off. And now you got targeting
and then
flags.
And then they get so mad about fines and stuff. And it's like, what form tackle do you target anything above the shoulders? And even the center of the chest is, like, iffy. They used to teach you to put your face mask in the center of their chest. But it's like you're complaining about this. I know maybe in the heat of the moment, if you're like, it's a jump ball or something, you collide, whatever. But, like, a lot of these sacks and stuff like that, where you're blatantly hitting them above the shoulders, which is what regards a targeting or roughing the passer
or roughing the passer. Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, that wouldn't be an issue if you did a proper tackle. Now, the only rule I do disagree with when it comes to quarterbacks is this whole low hit thing where, like, if I grab your ankle and you fall down, that's, like, illegal because I grabbed the lower extremity.
It's the Tom Brady rule.
Yeah, I understand if they're gator rolling on your leg. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But, like, just, you know, a defender, you know, a D lineman being pushed down and they happen to grab your ankle and pull, that shouldn't be an issue.
It shouldn't.
You know, it's like, again, I know all these rules were made off of certain things. Like, for instance, Tom Brady getting lit the fuck up in like 2000 and whenever. I think it was like 2002 or 2003.
Yeah.
He gets lit up, and come 2010 or so, they started guarding the quarterback a little bit more. You saw the slides come in a little bit more, especially with these more mobile QBs. You definitely saw the slides come in more.
Yeah.
But now, again, 2020 rolls around. 10 years later, people are evolving. These more athletic quarterbacks, the more mobile ones, are faking slides. Kenny Pickett did it in college. NFL sees it. They start doing it. And there's, and then you'll see, because we talked about what constitutes a slide or what constitutes giving themselves up. There's been times where they're about to be in a sliding, like they haven't even hit the ground yet, but you know, they kick out their leg or whatever, and they get hit, and that's illegal. It's like, but he hasn't officially hit the ground. He's not down. And again, maybe that's, this is me. I'm not like asking to see people get hurt, but like,
but I think that I think that shit bleeds into when they are running and you can tackle them, because now, like Josh Allen, for example, he infuriates me like nobody's business. He will take off running, and every fucking defensive player runs over and they try to like hug him, but they don't exactly, make an actual tackle, and they get, dragged for 10 yards, and he's jumping over a guy, and it's like, look at the talent of Josh Allen. It's like, bullshit, dude. Bullshit. And Josh Allen ain't got that much talent to where you can't, tackle a 250-pound guy. It's no different than tackling a 230-pound running back or a 230-pound receiver, even a tight end at 260. Like, there's no... If you're a linebacker and you can tackle George Kittle, there's no reason why you can't tackle
Josh Allen. I think the size Josh thing Allen. Is so fucking dumb. Because exactly what you were saying is that they're always like, oh my God, he's a massive man. I'm like, he's the size of a running back. He's not down.
It's not like
he's freaking, 400 or 500 pounds and running around the way he is.
I mean, what is he? How tall is this fucker? Let's just stay on Josh Allen for a second.
Probably like 6'4". I don't know.
I don't think he's 6'4".
To be honest.
I know he's
up there. That's for sure.
Oh, he might be, but I don't know if he's exactly, 6'4". Hold on here.
He's 6'5".
He's bigger than we thought.
6'5", 237.
237. Okay. How big is George Kittle? Let's look at this. Let's dive in here. Where are you, George?
To give you a reference, Derrick Henry's 250.
And he's what, 6'1", 6'2"?
Or here you go, Saquon Barkley, 6 foot, 233.
Okay.
Same weight, smaller height-wise.
George Kittle is 6'4", 250. And nobody has a problem tackling him.
Yeah.
In the open field. But somehow Josh Allen is a fucking mystery.
Yeah, it's beyond me. It really is.
Because I watched it.
The Eagles page.
Yeah.
But Jalen Hurts, 6'1", 223. He only has 10 pounds less, and no one has a problem tackling him.
No, but somehow we can't.
Or like if he bulldozes somebody, they're not like, oh my God, it's because of his massive size.
I don't understand this shit. Like Fred Warner had like, problems with it. I don't get it. I know we'll probably see Buffalo in the playoffs, my team anyway. For the love of God, I just want to see it happen. Chris Jones, flatten this fucker. It can't be that hard. I'm sorry. It can't be that fucking hard. On to the Sacramento Kings. All right. So the Sacramento Kings are 10-13. They just lost another one of those pull your hair out games, and they're currently involved in one right now. As of the recording, which is December 6th. I've been listening to so much radio and reading so much social media on the state of Sacramento basketball. I know I'm not a journalist. I'm not an analyst like a lot of these fucking silly guys right now talking. But there are a few guys I'm going to I got to say. Matt George is always on talking about it like it's the fucking apocalypse. You know, like everything is broken and, you know, we got to fix this, that, and whatever. And it's like, we got to sell this player and that player. And
yeah,
this is how the reality of the Sacramento Kings is this. You're not going to be fixing it anytime soon. It is a location problem. It is a financial problem. Right now they're 10 and 13. They're not shooting the ball well. Their offense is struggling, et cetera, et cetera. Mind you, we still got, you know, 50-something games to go. There's no high-priced free agent going to places like Memphis or Oklahoma City, teams that are consistently winning. How are they doing that? Drafting and developing. That's how they're doing it. And then they'll flip them for more draft assets so they can draft more and develop more. That's how they are staying competitive. Sacramento needs to do that. They need a really consistently solid front office and a really good development coaching staff. That's how they're going to be successful. They cannot sit there and the fan base can't sit there and expect a massive trade every year that's going to save the season. Like right now they're talking about trading away Kevin Huerter and some people. There's nobody on that fucking roster outside of De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, and DeRozan that people actually want. That's it. Those are the three that they're going to talk about. They're not tradable. Okay, so who on this roster are we going for that anybody's going to fucking want? No one's going to want Kevin Huerter right now the way he is. No one's going to want Trey Lyles because he's been hurt the whole time. No one's going to want Keon Ellis, a fucking overgrown Davion Mitchell. No one's going to want these guys. And no one's wanting it. No one's looking for Alex Lynn as a trade piece, unless he's a salary dump. So you got what you got. And you're going to have to ride this wave and see what happens. Unless you're willing to overhaul the top six guys in a trade of sorts, like Malik Monk probably, packaging him with Sabonis and his massive contract to get who, you know, who's available.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the reality of it. So they have to draft and develop. Now they have a habit of flipping, you know, what they've hit on Haliburton and they traded him. They hit on Mitchell and they traded him. Both of them are playing very well right now with their new teams. I don't think the Sasha things, I don't think they gave that a chance. They immediately dumped him. Like they got guys on the bench that shoot career 40% shooter like McDermott. They don't play him, whatever that means. It's just, it's like in my humble way of saying, stop bitching, shut the fuck up, enjoy the ride. Because the reality is, you're not going to get anything out of this. And this thought of firing Mike Brown after 1 year into his extension is a fucking fantasy. This organization has already paid three or four coaches to stay home at one point. They're not going to do it again. You're stuck with him for at least 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, just shut up and enjoy what you're watching. Pull your hair out, cry, but to sit there in fantasy land and be like, Mike Brown needs to be fired. All right, who's out there? There you go, nobody. What do you, and you just gave this guy $10 million a year for the next three or four years. You're going to sit him home and pay, you know, the ownership is not going to put his ass at home for an additional $30 million in cost. And then turn around and give another guy $5 million a year for 5 years or 4 years. That shit's not happening anymore. I don't see the ownership doing that again and again and again. And a lot of these players that they are, these they just gave $200 million to Sabonis. They're not flipping him anytime soon. The De'Aaron Fox is still owed $40 million by the end of next year. Maybe you hang out, maybe at that trade deadline you talk about it, but if he signs and if he wants to stay, you're not going to not sign him. You know, yeah. I mean, who's your point guard at that point? Devin Carter, the guy that you drafted hurt. I'm really curious what that's going to look like. Maybe you keep Malik Monk, but the only reason he re-signed was because of De'Aaron Fox. So you're going to have to get rid of both of them, or you're going to lose the locker room. You know, like, just stick with what you got until those contracts run out. That's all they can do. And draft and develop well. And this whole thing with Trey Lyles, oh, he's a trade piece. Then why are you, if he was that valuable as a rotational player, why are you getting rid of him? What are you telling that the guys you're going to trade with? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're never going to get this on local Sacramento sports radio. That's all I know. You're just going to get a bunch of bullshit of, man, they got to improve the shooting. We got to trade this guy and this guy. And what's that going to get you? Your benches are being, why is your bench depleted? I know why.
Yeah.
Because you overpaid for six guys. You have no money in the second or first or second tier to pay for a bench. So the six guys are going to play 40 minutes plus and get tired every game. And your bench is not going to be helpful. And you're going to maybe win 40 games.
No, it's the teams that like expect immediate results.
It's the fans
in any sport.
The fans
expect it, so then the teams expect it because they get pressured, and it turns into a whole thing, and I just never really understood it. Meanwhile, I feel bad for turning on the stat cast for the Kings game because they are slowly unfolding.
What's the score?
But that's what I was listening to. So it started off 70. It was 73-68, then 77-68. Now it's 79-74.
Kings got 79.
They just committed a shooting foul, so it's probably going to be 79. Yeah, Kings got 79.
Okay.
79-76. Yeah. Because they committed a foul on Julian Champagne. He made all three of his free throws.
Oh, it was a three-point shot at that. Okay.
Yeah, it was a three-point. I saw that back-to-back-to-back. I was like, oh.
There you go.
He missed it.
Oh.
Darn.
You're stuck with what you got. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate that, like, and this is for all sports, you know, and I know fans can be tough, you know. For instance, Philadelphia fans, right, are probably one of the first people to come to mind when it comes to sports and the fan base expecting, you know, championship results right away. And if you don't perform up to standard, you get absolutely grilled, you know. And I feel like people, like, as a fan, one, just take a step back, right? Two, you need to realize that sometimes these giant signings or these really good players that they end up getting or re-sign or whatever it may be is not like an immediate result as much as it's like maybe a locker room presence or a culture, like a cultural thing, or just the fact that that's your solid player and you need to build around him. Just because the Eagles, I mean, this is not a good example, but like when the Eagles got Saquon Barkley, right, I didn't buy into it right out the gate because a dude gets hurt all the time. Just because they get him doesn't mean that the Eagles are saved. Now I'm realizing that might be the case, but it's things like that, you know. And I can't really speak to basketball, right, because I don't really keep up with it, but it's right. Just like you sign these big names and you hope for a championship result, Blake Snell with the Giants, and...
what a way to circle back,
right? But then you see that, and like fans will just lose their minds, and they pressure the office, the front office and stuff, into doing just things that they probably shouldn't do. And or the office expects immediate results. The ownership expects immediate results. And it's just insane. Like, it's actually kind of crazy if you think about it, how much fans have an influence on their team.
Well, here's a crazy thing. Here's a crazy thing because we're talking Kings basketball, or at least I'm complaining anyway. Mm-hmm. Here's a crazy thing. The Siakam thing. Okay. He became available for trades. Everywhere I looked, everywhere, radio, social media, it was all these random stupid trade packages that basically mortgaged the future for this guy. And they wanted to pair him with Sabonis. And it was like, get rid of De'Aaron Fox, get rid of Kevin Huerter, package this with that. And I'm just thinking in my head, the only guy on that roster worth trading that anybody would actually fucking want at that time was Harrison Barnes. No one was going to take that gigantic salary that De'Aaron Fox has. No one was going to take Kevin Huerter off an injury. It wasn't going to happen. And to top it off, every time I listened on the radio, every fan was calling Monty McNair, the general manager, a failure for not executing this trade. But they also don't understand that Siakam had no interest in staying in Sacramento. He was on the final year of his deal. He said, you can trade for me. It's a quote direct from him. You can trade for me, but I'm not staying. You can give up all your assets. I'm still not staying. I'm going to go where I want to go at the end of the year. Why the fuck would you trade for that guy and mortgage your future? Why? Because he might experience some winning. He still ain't staying. He's going to go to a larger market that he wants. And that's what happened. He went to Indiana. It's a slightly larger market. He signed a big-ass deal because they had the money. That's what he wanted. The other guy was this OG Anunoby, the guy out of Toronto. It was the same shit. It was mortgage all these assets, give up all these draft picks to bring him here. He'd be a defensive stopper, blah, blah, blah. He said the same shit. He wasn't staying. He was going to go somewhere else. This is the thing too. It's like, you have to have someone that wants to be here, which DeRozan wanted to be there, and he wanted to experience what was going on. So that's a plus, right? You finally get a guy to that would solidify the free agency where you go, okay, well, this guy wants to be here, or this guy, or whatever. But the problem is these guys are always, always, always 33, 34, 35, 36. They're at the back end and of their careers. It's never a guy that's at the prime of his career saying, you know what? I want to be in Sacramento. I want to go to Memphis. Who wants to be in Memphis? You know, yeah. It's fucking batshit. And I listen to you listen to these fans, and you listen to the guys on the radio, and it's like the same nonsense. And at the end of the day, the reality is, You're not going to get any of this. So it's like, why? I don't understand. It's like, I guess at the end of my rant, it's just, I'm just tired of hearing it. I guess it's like, just stop being retarded. Let me go check the score.
It is 87-76 right now.
Who's got 76?
The Spurs.
It's 87?
87. Kings, 76, Spurs.
What quarter?
5 minutes left in the third.
There's plenty of time to fail. Don't.
All right, on the news.
Yes. Now, let's talk about that fucking nun.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to close.
You want the nun or?
Yeah, I don't. The CEO
thing. Murder.
No, forget the CEO murder. That's,
all right. We're not doing the murder, guys.
No, the nun really. Piqued the interest there. Perked, whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead and read away, sir. I have to drink. My throat
all right,
is dry.
So, nun oh, geez. Ads. Pop-up ads. Thank you, The Telegraph. Nun arrested by Italian police in swoop on mafia suspects. All right. This is a prison volunteer, Sister Anna Donnelly, is one of 25 people detained after a complex operation that began back in 2020. All right. That is the best I could pretty much give you without making an account.
What? God damn
yes.
you.
Yes. To continue to read.
How come?
I have to sign up for an account.
How come I got this?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Guess I got to do it.
But it's due to being part of a mafia network engaged in extortion and drug trafficking.
I got telegraphed as well. No, I read this. I didn't read that on the telegraph.
Yeah, I have to pay.
See that?
Thanks,
see,
Telegraph.
See, this is what happens over here on the podcast.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go, guys. Here we go. Right. Here we go. All right. Fuck, Telegraph. Nope. There we go. Got it. Okay. All right. The police on Thursday arrested 25 people due to suspicion of being part of a mafia network engaged in extortion and drug trafficking. The prosecutors alleged that this certain nun took advantage of her role as a prison volunteer in the act as a contact between jailed members of the that mafia and gang members on the outside. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm going to even try to say that. I really can't.
That's okay.
Anyway, the 57-year-old nun is in prison in Milan and earlier won a civic award for her work in jails and some of the more deprived areas of cities and earlier this year. So she won an award for doing the job, and now she's kind of paying for doing another job.
Mm.
There was a phone call that was intercepted. One of the arrested people allegedly told a contact, if you need something inside, she's one of ours. The police allege that the 25 arrested people were part of an attempt by the mafia to spread their criminal activities to the city of Brescia in the north and the wealthiest part of the country. They confiscated assets worth more than 1.8 million euros, I believe, whatever Italy uses. I believe that's euros.
Whatever the
mafia is based in Calabria and far south Italy, so they were influencing quite a bit.
Okay.
They are also found in places in South America and Australia. But complex arrests started in 2020. We are now going into 2025. They have made arrests of 25 people, including a nun who was awarded something for her efforts in the prison and in lower, I guess, income areas. And now she is blatantly deemed as one of the mafias.
I knew they had a nun on them. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good way to get in there. Yeah, I mean.
Damn it.
In November, in November of last year, there were more than 200 members of that mafia gang were sentenced to a total of 2,200 years in prison at the culmination of the country's biggest trial for more than 33 years, or 30 years. I don't know where I got 33, but, you know. They were connected to echelons of 12 million euros, or 12 million euros worth of invoices for non-existent transactions that enabled complicit business to lower their income and thus avoid taxes. That's why they're all in prison, and the nun is helping them smuggle shit inside the prison. And I think
that is
a way to go.
God's
yeah,
goodness
that's
right
great.
There. The Kings are up 96-78. Wow. Getting good.
Yeah.
Okay. I know we're going to go back to sports for a second. Okay. So here's what I'm talking about. Boy. Man, this the one thing that's crazy is how fast the Twitter's do what they do here. It goes quick. Like, I just lost it. I just lost it. God damn it. All right. Oh, Zach Collins flipped off a ref and got a technical. There you go.
Oh, sick. I love that. That's one way to do it, right?
I guess.
It's the same thing with like when you like accidentally make contact with the ref and they're all like, oh my God.
Okay. Somebody slipped me a note. I understand. We did. We have hit our 90-minute threshold anyway. So let's do, all right. We had a lot more to go, but somebody is hungry and is getting smacked by his wife. I appreciate it. I appreciate the note to let me know. So off that, thank you all. This is episode 80. It's in the can. That's it. Later. See you next week.
See ya.